Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast, where healthcare meets business, with your host, me, Dr. Karen Litzy. And just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not to be used as personalized medical advice. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast. I am your host, Dr. Karen Litzy, owner of Karen Litzy Physical Therapy, located in New York City. And today, we're going to talk all about the foot and ankle. So we have an amazing guest. This is what she does. It is her bread and butter. DL is an educator, healer, diagnostic detective with a fueled passion to get people back on their feet. Currently, she keeps busy learning and developing healing strategies, honing her clinical skills, teaching, coaching, consulting, and creating courses with the intention of helping the people of the world heal from soul to soul. S-O-L-E to S-O-U-L for those of you out there listening. So DL, thank you so much for coming on. I'm excited to talk about the foot and ankle with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Karen. I'm excited to be here.
Now, why the foot and ankle? Where did your interest spark in that body part? Because there's a lot of body parts we as physical therapists can treat. So why the foot and ankle?
Well, back in 2008, I started teaching a balance enhancement and fall prevention course for PTs nationally. And as I was teaching, and one of the things that I love about teaching is that I learn as I'm teaching. So I learn something new every time I teach. And I, obviously, most people do not fall when they're sitting. So I, you know, define falling, which is basically when your center of gravity moves beyond your base of support. Base of support is the foot, center of gravity is the pelvis. Okay, anatomically, those are the two areas of focus. So maintaining control of the center of gravity and then maintaining mobility of the base of support. So the more mobile the foot is, the more that the more leeway, right, the center of gravity has to decrease the likelihood of falling. And falls are, you know, such a problem, particularly with our seniors. So yeah. I, you know, really got quite good at evaluating the problems of the foot with regard to function, which was basically to, you know, again, increase that base of support with regard to balance enhancement. And then I got into, well, the foot and gait, which again, the foot is so integral to locomotion. And so many problems stem from our base of support. So it's like if you build a house on a crooked foundation, the house is never going to work properly. And I like to use the analogy of driving a car. When you're driving a car and that light goes on, that you've got a flat tire, what do? You pull over immediately, because if you don't, you're going to ruin the car. Well, so many people are functioning on either flat tire or a tire that is low. And the warning sign is on, but they're not heeding that signal.
And when you're seeing, now people I know come from all over the country to see you because they know you're an expert in this area. If you were to share with the listeners, what are the most common things mm-hmm. that you're seeing in the feet and ankles of people who are coming to see you? Because not everyone that listens to this podcast is a physical therapist, although a lot are. So there might be like regular Joe out there who may have the beginnings of maybe a foot and ankle dysfunction, but can maybe catch it early to stay healthy, right? So the yeah. people that are coming to see you, what are the main diagnoses that you're mm-hmm. seeing?
You know, that's a great question. I usually see the ones that have failed elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So I typically see the really desperate cases, so to speak, the ones that have not gotten better from other areas. What I will say is that from an observation standpoint, obviously the foot in general is one of the most undertreated parts of the human body, I think. by PTs. And I believe that that's a little bit because of our training, because we need to know so much when we are being trained. And then there aren't a lot of continuing education courses that focus on the foot. To go back to answer your question, there are the one thing that I've learned from a functional standpoint, and if I could make the world a better place, there are two things that I would restore in the human body. The first is dorsiflexion, and the second is pelvic extension, which is partially controlled by the forefoot. So when I was evaluating somebody's pelvis in class, actually, and it was not working properly, it was kind of unstable and all over the place, and it wasn't making sense that it was a problem in the pelvis, I looked down at the foot, and the foot was completely dysfunctional. So by addressing the foot, then I was able to restore the pelvis. And again, so many of our patients lack safe and appropriate pelvic extension and or also dorsiflexion. I think it's for two reasons. One, we have toilets, so we no longer squat. So there's the dorsiflexion. And two, we're in chairs from the age of about six until the rest of our lives. And that really messes up pelvic extension.
Right, because when we're sitting, we're obviously in like a little more of a posterior pelvic tilt for
right.
most of the
and,
day.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to it once again, the pelvis is going to impact the foot. Because if you don't have full pelvic extension, you're not going to be able to translate through the entire foot and get adequate push off, which mm-hmm. really goes all the way to the end of the big toe. And so to your point, and I think what we spoke about, there are a lot of big toe dysfunctions. So if I had to pick one, it would be the big toe and probably the osteoarthritis in the toe, which is oftentimes termed hallux limitus. And sometimes that joint actually, it's the first MPT joint, which tends to be hypermobile. Quite frankly, maybe because of the pelvis not extending mm-hmm. so that it doesn't translate through the IP joint. I just thought of that. Thank you for asking.
Right. So I think what's the big takeaway here is that if you're a therapist and you're working on the foot and ankle, you can't just only keep your focus there. You have to go up the chain.
Absolutely. Absolutely. To do your job properly. Yeah. And that's what diagnostic detecting is all about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is, you know, what I teach functional corrective diagnostic, functional corrective diagnosis, right? Evaluation. And it is all about looking at function from basically the diaphragm to the foot.
And when you're looking at that function, what sort of functional
tests
or tasks are you looking at?
Yeah, there's a variety. So basically what I found is that when I'm doing my evaluation with the patient, the key question, there's two key questions that I ask, and one that is integral is, when are you getting your pain, right? What motions can you reproduce? That's exactly how I do my functional testing. So if it's on a certain phase of gait, I analyze that phase of gait with regard to function. And then I look at things. If it's a motion that's in the closed chain, which it usually is in the foot,
mm-hmm.
I will look at closed chain and I'll observe from proximal to distal. And the proximal connective tissue that extends down to the toes basically starts in the spine, right? Because we have nerve mm-hmm. tissue that goes there. So that's where I start my evaluation. And then I observe as they go down the kinetic chain and I look for smooth and sequential motion. I almost look at it like a row of dominoes. So if the row started at, let's say, L4, that's domino one, and then keeping going. And if there is a deviation or they move through an area too quickly, then what I do is I locate that area and I palpate to see whether it is a structural dysfunction, which means a hypertonicity or a connective tissue that's restricted that I need to release. And if it's not, then it could be what I call a non-structural dysfunction, which could be that it's due to instability, would be one of the reasons orthopedically. Obviously, it could be due to an upper motor neuron or lower motor neuron dysfunction. That would be mm-hmm. non-structural. And then my treatment plan is different. Mm-hmm. Then I'm addressing more along the lines of stability, because we need to have stability in order to have mobility. And something that was very interesting, I just taught a workshop for regular people this weekend, and I had them do a calf stretch, typical runner stretch, right? Mm-hmm. And what I did was I had them then activate their big toe and look at the difference in range of motion. So every one of them had more range of motion. And as a result of that, every one of them needed to improve the stability of the great toe.
And when you say activate the big toe, what does that mean?
To basically contract it isometrically.
Okay.
So I, you know, an exercise, and this saved me from knee surgery, was that I was not putting weight out over my big toe because I mm-hmm. had trauma to it years prior. And then I went down a step and I missed a step. So I went down two steps and I heard a palpable
yeah.
in my knee.
Ouch.
And I thought it was a meniscus tear, but mm-hmm. it wasn't. I had just given birth, so there was like surgery was not an option. And years later, I was able to manage it. I got some good PT and I was able to manage it. But then like 10 years later, it started acting up. And then I realized I wasn't putting weight over my big toe. And I believe that the number one postural dysfunction in the body, the compensation, is to get weight over the big toe. And people will do that in a number of ways. They will either bend forward, mm-hmm. they'll stoop forward. They might become hyperlordotic to get their weight forward. They will develop genu recurvatum to get their weight forward. They will push their head to get their weight forward. And for me, I believe that the human body will do anything to get weight over the big toe because it is the primary stabilizer in the foot and possibly, you know, the primary stable, one of the primary balancers in the mm-hmm. human body. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at somebody's alignment skeletally, look at the foot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a patient last week who said when he's walking, and I don't know if you've ever heard this one, said he feels like his toe is floating.
Yeah. Well,
like it's not, you know, he just doesn't have that
the push off. Yeah.
The push balance. Off of that perception that the yeah. foot is working or the toe is working.
Yeah. For those people, very simply, I'll just throw a piece of kinesio tape or dynamic tape under the big toe to pull it down. I have a piece on right now, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and it, what it does is just increases awareness to the big toe. And then, you know, I have my method, which is release, realign, rebalance, reinforce. So you release any connective tissue that's restricting motion from occurring, then you realign it. I usually realign with tape and then you reinforce it with exercise. I'm sorry, you rebalance by strengthening what is weak and mm-hmm. Creating the balance between flexibility and mobility, and then reinforce it. So the reinforcing is just, you know, the taping and walking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty amazing how important that big toe is. And yeah. I think a lot of people, I don't think a lot of physical therapists overlook it, but I think the average person will yeah. overlook it or they will externally brace mm-hmm. by wearing really stiff shoes, for example, mm-hmm. right? So then they don't even have to move through that foot anymore. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So rigid, you know, here's the thing, is that I believe that, you know, footwear modifications should protect mm-hmm. for a period of time, because in the big toe in particular, because sometimes the lack of mobility is because of a lack of stabilization, which is because of inflammation, which is caused by abnormal mechanics and something becoming hypermobile. There's usually that component going on. And one of the key things is that for every cubic centimeter of inflammation, a muscle will shut down by 1%. And the muscles that are closest to the joint are the stabilizing joints. So they then become weak. Then it becomes more hypermobile. It's kind of just like that negative cascade that occurs in the rotator cuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you have a weak rotator cuff, then you move the arm, you get continued inflammation. It's usually not until you get that cortisone shot and that you get it back. But what I think a lot of people do, particularly with how it's limitless, is they'll stretch it and don't, you know, get that stabilization first, mobilize the areas around it that are causing that hypermobility. But I never stretch it. I there's no reason to.
It's so funny you should say that, because I said that to this patient that I saw last week. Said he felt like it was floating, and it was, you know, range of motion wise, less range of motion on the more problematic side. And I was like, what I don't want you to do is just grab that toe and be yanking it back and don't do that. Please don't do that. You're not going to do yourself any favors.
Right, right. But creating mobility, particularly in the medial compartment of the foot, which tends to be very, very rigid, especially in high arch, the navicular, the talus, the tibia, the medial cuneiform, the calcaneus, and the first metatarsal, proximally more so than distally.
Yeah.
Get range of motion there, get better alignment there, and then you'll have better translation. Remember I said the row of dominoes, right? That person is probably getting, let's say, domino one is the tibia, domino two is the talus, domino three is the navicular, four is the medial cuneiform, five is the metatarsal. He's probably going 1, 4, 5.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's why he's having the issues that he's having. And the other thing too, is that if you have a dropped metatarsal, right, then you're going to have an elevated proximal IP and then probably a plantar flexed distal IP.
Right.
So it's about, again, creating that better alignment.
Right.
Because alignment dictates function, frequency, flow, and force absorption.
Right, right. So you have, and I think we've all seen that presentation of the drop metatarsal, the elevated, the flexed, because that toe is trying to find the ground.
Exactly. The human body will do anything to get the big toe on the ground. That's why people have flat feet.
Right, 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 right.
Greg Johnson taught me this, is that it's a compensated supinated foot. So it's really supinated, but it is compensating to get the big toe on the ground because that's the primary stabilizer. The human body will do anything not to fall.
Of
and
course.
Maintain the eyes on the horizon. So if that means that the talus slips, then the talus slips. You know, these adaptations occur at a very young age.
Right, right, right. And wouldn't it be nice to kind of get people before this cascade of events, which rarely ever happens because they might not have any pain. Why would you go to a physical therapist if you don't have any pain? When in fact, you can go to a physical therapist before.
Right, right.
It's okay, everybody.
Obviously, the earlier, the better. The thing, though, is that for me, it's easier to treat hypomobility than hypermobility. Hypermobility requires work on the patient's part. If it's hypomobile, I can do the work and then they can just walk. And then, be free.
right.
Compliance, but when it is a hypermobile foot, there are going to be hypomobilities that need to be addressed, but then you really need to stabilize and change the alignment of the foot. And that does take, it does take some effort.
Mm-hmm.
And a young kid, I don't know that really they understand that.
Yeah.
But maybe that's when you put them in orthotics after you've corrected the hypomobility and you get them in a better alignment. And again, you address up the kinetic chain because the flat foot will get compensated at the calcaneus, the talus, the tibia, and the femur. So you need to derotate, put those all, and the femur then is the pelvis. So you have to go from the pelvis down to really address that.
Right. Absolutely. For those of you who are perhaps watching this on YouTube, you've just gotten a nice picture of my big cat here. Let's talk about surgeries, right? Mm-hmm. So often I think people will go straight into a surgical procedure for the foot or ankle versus maybe going to a physical therapist first, right? So can you talk a little bit about foot and ankle surgeries and the success of those surgeries, or maybe lack thereof?
Compared to other joints, it's not so good. And I think the reason being is because the foot is 52 joints. And quite frankly, a problem is not, it may manifest in one place, but the cause is not there. And I think that's why the surgeries fail. And we were just talking about this off camera a little bit, that the PT is really, really, really important. And, you know, one of my ambitions is to speak to podiatrists or surgeons and offer them a prehab program for their patients to, you know, and to use with physical therapists. And I know that prehab's been shown to improve patient outcomes. It's going to also, you know, get the patient mentally, psychologically ready for surgery, that they feel like they're training, like for a marathon. They're in training right now to make their surgery more successful. And then obviously, you know, the care right after, because a lot of times then they get immobilized and put in a boot,
right,
which causes a whole slew of problems just by being in the boot. And again, that's going back to kind of the rigid footwear. There's the point where we do need to protect, but once we don't, then it should be a transition from a protective footwear to maybe a strong tape like dynamic tape, which has 33 pounds of force available for force attenuation or for holding a joint in place. So it's a really nice rigid but flexible option. And that is, I think that is the appropriate transition, because if you never do that and you never get the appropriate range of motion back, you know, that's going to cause even more problems, you know? So the idea with corrective functional therapy is to correct function when it's safe and appropriate, regardless of the surgical procedure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other thing about these surgical procedures is that if you're the patient, you have to have the ability to stay off your foot. Mm-hmm. Right. So I had a patient who did have surgery for what was it? I think lack of, it was either, oh, it was arthritis of the big toe. And it was either try this surgical procedure or fuse it. Right. Mm-hmm. So they did this surgical procedure. He had to be off of his feet for like all but 2 hours a day. Right? Off his feet, elevated, all but 2 or 3 hours a day. You know, it was something crazy. So if you work, right? If you have kids, if you live alone and you have to do for yourself, that's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so this patient of mine was retired and had the ability to sit with his feet elevated X number of hours a day. So he had really good outcomes.
Right.
And I think like you said, having some prehab and some education ahead of time can make all the difference.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is too, is that the most important training post-surgically, because again, remember about inflammation and core muscles, right? It would be is like, okay, when are they cleared for isometrics? And just doing isometrics straight away. Just do it. And again, technically they really should not affect any sort of surgical procedure because it's a non-moving contraction.
Right.
So, you know, in my mind, there's no reason not to do it. But then some of the surgeries actually cut the core muscles of the foot on top of it. And, you know, oh, you know, the flexor hallucis brevis, it's not important.
who needs that?
Stabilizer of the toe, but that's where, like, you could use something like kinesio tape or dynamic tape to offset that, you know, that lacking, certainly at the beginning,
Sure. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it's, I think what I'm hearing is that the foot can be complicated because there's so many joints and so many bones and muscles and ligaments and things like that. But if you have a good system to evaluate and a good system to organize your thoughts during that evaluation, that it makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely. And you know, that's my bread and butter, because I was not a phenomenal student, but I was a great observer. And when I observe function, it reveals, you know, when I take myself out of the diagnostic clinical mode and I go into functional mode and I see where the problem is, I don't need to know what it's called. I just need to know that it needs to be treated. Mm-hmm. And so then I just do, you know, I do a release, two release techniques. One is in the rotational or the in the plane of rotation, which is the sagittal plane, right? Mm-hmm. As well as the frontal and the transverse. Yeah, I don't know. It's late for me, so I might have mixed that up. But anyway, yeah. No, rotation occurs in the transverse plane about the sagittal axis, I believe. But anyway. Three planes of motion, right? Whatever they're lacking. And again, locating that area of hypertonicity. And then I just address it in a very simple way, using functional movement in an indirect way to get that area of hypertonicity moving again. So using motion, because that's what the patient needs to do. So to just sit there in joint mode, you know, and here's another big mistake that I wouldn't say mistake, but something that could be done very much better is to treat in the closed chain, because that's when and where most of the problems are in the foot. And the alignment changes up the foot very, very drastically between the open and closed chain.
Yes.
So to treat in the open chain is really not functional. I will treat in the open chain to look at how the foot articulates with the floor. Because again, there will be compensations in standing. So I kind of just move passively, pretend my hands is the floor, and see what happens up the kinetic chain and where I can address so that the foot lay better on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. So that's when I'll treat in the open chain, but then every other function I'm treating in closed chain, because that's when they're having, that's what's going to make the biggest difference. So it is seemingly, potentially, it could be looked at as complicated, but it really isn't when you know what to do and how to do it. And what is also very interesting, a patient came to mind when we were just speaking, but because I did a functional evaluation, her fracture was on the right, and it was because she fell. And she fell a couple of times. Once I think she broke her pelvis, and the other time she broke her foot.
Oh.
What was interesting is that when I evaluated her for her base of support, she was a tennis player. What wound up happening is that her dysfunction was on the other side. So I had to treat the other side.
Sure,
so that
sure.
She wouldn't fall again.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really good point, people. So if you are treating patients, don't just look at one side. Mm-hmm. Don't just look up the kinetic chain on one side. You got to look up on the other side as well.
Yeah. And once again, you know, my thought process, right? The diagnostic test detecting was that she didn't fall walking, but it was on the tennis court where you have to go laterally. So I mimicked the lateral motion, right? Watching her. And as soon as she moved like into, I think it was pronation on the right, like 5 degrees, or it was supination actually. She went into supination, just immediately her big toe came off the ground.
Mm. So then you lose the little, that base of support.
Exactly. That's why she fell on the tennis court and not on the
right. Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So the big takeaway is treat the person in the treat, at least treat, evaluate, and then treat the person in the positions in which they move. Like you said,
where they have the problem.
Where they have the problem. Right. So that way you can work on what is functional to them.
Exactly. And, you know, I use the same strategy, whether I'm treating a foot or a shoulder, you know, or any part of the body, and any person, you know, from a, you know, a 3-year-old to a, you know, 103-year-old, it's the same, I use the same process.
Right.
And so that is what I love about it, because I don't have to learn all these other structures in the body. I just go back to the thought process. And again, I have it very, very systematic so that you can figure out the root cause of the problem, address it, and address it quickly.
Right. Which is important, because people don't want to be going to PT for years on end. You know, people want to feel better as quickly as possible.
Right.
Which is good PT. I remember, I think it was Peter O'Sullivan. He had said, you know, good PT is sometimes bad for business, right?
Absolutely.
Because you don't have someone in for this super long plan of care. But I would argue you get more referrals because you're that good.
That's exactly right. And you know what? Yeah. You want to serve your patients the best way that you
exactly.
can.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, they don't care if they have a, you know, herniated disc, as long as they can do what they love without pain.
100%. Yeah.
And so treat the function. And truthfully, if you are working in an insurance-based practice, that you have to show functional gains. Mm-hmm. So why not treat function?
Absolutely.
Correct function.
Absolutely. And speaking of correct function, if people want to learn more about what you teach, corrective functional foot and ankle therapy, where can they go to learn more and to delve into kind of what we've been talking about today?
Absolutely. So it's dlwalkerconsultant.com, and there is a section for professionals. The courses are approved in 31 US states for physical therapists, all states for athletic trainers, and then also in the UK for podiatrists, physical therapists, and actually any profession can take those courses. So they are, they're different, they're fun, and they are available online. Although I am putting it out there to get back out there and teach live again.
Yeah. Something that I think we all missed for the last couple of years. And it's starting, I think, more and more to come back, which is really great.
I really like the idea of a hybrid class, because I know for myself, you know, a 4-day intensive class was grueling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the end of the 4 days, you were just, your head was about to explode.
Yeah, you're like a vegetable.
Yeah. And what's nice about the online is that the videos, you always have a good seat. Especially with the foot, because it's so tiny. You know what I mean?
Right. You're not like trying to look over the person in front of you, like move your head over. I can't.
You know,
see.
You know, I'm very old school. I remember those days. You know,
yeah.
It's like, where was he going?
Totally.
So it's lovely to have the videos available to not only learn from prior to class, but also afterwards. And you know, what if you're having a bad day or you're not feeling well?
Right.
You know, So I really love the idea of hybrid too. And it keeps people, you know, interactive and being able to be live, but also, you know, not have to sacrifice, you know, a lot of time away from home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's great. And now as we wrap things up, what do you want our listeners to take home? What's your big takeaway or takeaways?
Well, by the way, too, there, you said learn more too. I have given you a link to sign up for more training for anybody who's interested, and also receive a little discount on a course if you would like. And then the big take home, I would say, well, you know what? I'm going to share three things. These are three things I learned my first day of orthopedics physical therapy class. And I remember them and I apply them to even today, 30 years later. The first is that alignment dictates function, frequency, flow, and force absorption. So if you want to have lasting change, you need to correct the alignment, right? You need to have stability in order to have mobility. So if you are unstable, you will lack flexibility. And if somebody is lacking mobility, which a lot of our patients are, it could be not because of connective tissue restriction, but also that they lack stability. So you need to look at and address both, quite frankly, because one will cause the other, truthfully. Mm-hmm. And people can be unstable because their alignment is off because of the lane tension ratio. A muscle will contract with greatest vigor when it's at a particular length. If it's too long or too short, it won't work properly. And the last is release, realign, and reinforce.
Perfect.
That's it. That's perfect. PT. That's PT in a nutshell. You do those three things, that will take you far. So,
right. Well, thank you so much. I think this was a great conversation. I've been taking lots of notes. And as you're talking, I'm thinking about patients that I'm seeing in my head. So hopefully, listeners, you are doing the same. And now the last question that I ask everyone is, knowing where you are now in your life and in your career, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self? So maybe, you know, you're in PT school, not sure which way you're going to go.
Yeah. You know, for me, it was finding the strategy that worked to my strength.
Because
everyone has a different talent.
Yep.
And there are many, many different people to learn from and different strategies out there. And, you know, finding the system that aligns with your strength and that you feel confident with.
Oh, that's great advice. I think that's the first time we've heard that one. That is really good advice. Okay. So one more time, give us your website and where people can find out more about you.
All right. It's dlwalkerconsultant.com. Should be like around this podcast someplace.
Yes. So for those of you
on YouTube or wherever.
It's everything is in the show notes. So
okay, there we go.
Have to do is one click. You'll go straight to that website.
We'll
go straight to the discounts, so the sort of free gift for all the listeners. It's in the show notes, regardless of what podcast platform you are listening on right now.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Karen. So I just have to ask you, what's the kitty's name?
Oh, Oliver. It's Oliver. Yes. This is the most he's been on camera in a long time. You know, I don't know what it is.
I love cats. So it might be me.
He can feel the energy coming through the computer.
Absolutely.
Well, DL, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time and your sharing your expertise. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Anytime. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. Have a great couple of days and stay healthy, wealthy, and smart. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave us your questions and comments at podcast.healthywealthysmart.com.